Man, I love that song. Good morning. Where's my wife? Oh, there she is. Okay, all right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Cleveland Wells, and we're continuing with our summer movie series that Scott mentioned. Last year, I preached on the movie Home. That was pretty cool. But it's been a year since I preached, and so my sermon was probably 7 hours long. I've learned a lot in a year, so you guys need to thank my beautiful wife for helping me cut out about 3/4 of it, so I'm not keeping you guys here all day. Today I'm preaching on the movie Apocalypse. Has anyone seen the movie? Okay, good, because if you didn't, there's going to be some spoilers here, and it's been out long enough, I'm not going to feel bad. This morning you will laugh, at least I hope you laugh. You will think, you will be convicted, and my prayer is that you will leave with the mindset to change. To not just say, oh man, that Cleve, he sure is crazy. But to say, with God's help, I'm going to change. Before I get started, I want to have a few shout outs this morning. My wonderful, wonderful mom is here today. So supportive, huh, mommy? I love you. Every time I get to preach, she comes up, and I think it's from the guilt of all the beating she gave me when I was young. I have forgiven you, and I still love you so much, and I know you have no shame about the beatings. The beatings, there were so many, and I didn't deserve any of them. I have some coworkers here this morning, guys. Y'all don't understand. This is so cool. I have Miss Janine and Barton and her husband Rick, please give them a round of applause. At my job, Miss Janine is someone who you have to badge into my building. Miss Janine is someone who, if you get on her nerves, she can make sure that doesn't work. So I do my very best to make sure that I'm on her good. We mess with each other all the time, but she can turn it off anytime that she wants, and there's nothing I can really do about it. So, hi, Janine. Then we have Mrs. Dawn. How you doing, Mrs. Dawn? Everybody give Mrs. Dawn a round of applause. Dawn is on my team, and she's kind of my lieutenant general, so that if there's any time that I take off, Dawn runs the show. And she does such a phenomenal job that when I get to work, if I haven't made Janine mad and she's turned my badge off, then I'm checking to see if they've turned it off, because if they realize, Cleve, we don't really need you. We've got Dawn. We're good. So far, it's been working. And then we have Mr. Curtis and his wife, Lauren. Everybody give Curtis a round of applause. Curtis, please stand up for me real quick, Curtis. Please stand up. Now, I want y'all to look at Curtis. Okay? Very smooth, brother. Y'all see him? He's smooth. He's the president of our team. Now, if you notice, Curtis still has hair. And he's one of those brothers with the good hair, okay? And he's smooth, and he's got the swag and all that kind of stuff. I have no hair. I have none. But at work, there are so many times when people look at me and they say, hi, Curtis. Or they look at Curtis and say, hi, Cleveland. So much, in fact, that there was a time for Halloween I was off work. So Curtis sat in my seat that whole day. And people walk by and say, hi, Cleve, hi, Cleve, hi, Cleve. And there's a joke that I could use, but I'm going to be good today and hold that back. Amen. But it's so good to have you guys here. You know, I was told that when you become a manager, so we were peers, me, Curtis, and Don, we were peers. And last year, I was asked to take over a management position. And when I took courses and talked to people, they said it's so hard to go from being peers to then being a manager. And I got to say, I have the best team in the world, because the transition has been so smooth. They are so graceful. We have so much fun in a crazy environment, and I love those guys very much. So thank you all so much for coming. So let's jump into it. Apocalypse. Okay, so it's another movie in the X-Men series. What are X-Men, you may ask? I will tell you. X-Men are mutants. A mutant is a being, usually human, otherwise, who possesses a genetic trait called an X-gene. that allows the mutant to naturally develop superhuman powers and abilities. You have good mutants and bad mutants. X-Men are good mutants who fight for peace and equality between normal humans and mutants in a world where anti-mutant bigotry is fierce and widespread. In the comics, Apocalypse, Insabar Nur, I probably jacked it up, but he's not going to come up today, is the first ever mutant. He's definitely a bad guy. His abilities include genius level intellect, telekinesis, telepathy, technopathy, teleportation, immortality, invulnerability, rejuvenative healing factor, reality, warping, super strength, speed and reflexes, matter, energy, and mass manipulation. He's a bad boy. So in the movie, Apocalypse has been asleep for centuries. And he's awakened at a time when the X-Men were young and discovering themselves. The X-Men are led by Professor Charles Xavier, who has the gift of telepathy, meaning he can read your mind. He started a school for all these young mutants who had no idea what was going on when they started acquiring these gifts and abilities. And it took a collective effort of all of the X-Men working together and using their gifts and abilities in the war against Apocalypse, which led me to think, we too have gifts and abilities. But they don't come from an X gene. They come from a J gene, a Jesus Christ gene. He has given us all specific gifts and abilities because we're in a war as well. An enemy we fight, I'll talk about him a little later. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, the Bible commands each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We've all been given a specific gift or gifts from God to build up his kingdom, to build up each other and assist in the war. The Bible mentions many gifts. Some are still given today. Some died off when the last apostle died. But for the sake of time, I just want to focus on one specific list. Point number one, we all got them. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God is giving you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God is giving you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." There are different opinions out there about when we receive gifts. Some people believe that, hey, we're born with certain gifts. And then when we get baptized as a true disciple, the Holy Spirit enhances those gifts. Some people believe, well, you just get gifts when you get baptized. I tend to believe the former, that we're given gifts at birth, or when God created us, he instilled gifts into us. And we become baptized as a disciple. The Holy Spirit does enhance those gifts. I mean, there's just certain ways that we've always been. You know, I look at my kids. You know, my son Shay is a natural leader. And my son Christian is full of kindness and compassion. As a matter of fact, to show some of Shay's leadership abilities, I have a video that I want you to see where Shay took the lead to encourage my grandmother at a party.
Yeah. Yep.
That woman in the picture is my grandmother, an incredible woman, and Shay took the lead to encourage her. But recall what the Bible said in verse 3 in Romans 12. It says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. We have to be careful because we live in a society of, it's not one-upmanship. You know, we like to think we're better than others, or we compete to be better than others. Outside, and then sometimes it creeps into the church. We have to make sure we don't look at certain gifts as being more important than others. The Bible says, just like the body has many members, each part has an important role. There are parts of our bodies that aren't seen on the outside, but are just as important as what we do see. Let's be real. A lot of y'all love the way you look. You love your face. I can tell how, because some of the stuff you wear, you're trying to show stuff off. Every time you look, there's some selfie. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. But I dare say, if on the inside that heart wasn't pumping blood, you don't see it, but you'd be in a lot of trouble. It's the same thing when it comes to these gifts. Scott and Dion's function as the church's great evangelist and women's ministry leader, and they do a phenomenal job. But what they do is no more important than the ushers who serve you, who come in here early to make sure you have a seat, to make sure to give you that hug and that warm greeting. Or the tech crew. Oh, my goodness. I sat back with them this morning. They get here like 8:30 in the morning to set up all the mics and all the technology. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at them like, Eugene, you need to teach a class. This is amazing. And not only do they come early, they stay late to take down. Very important function. Or the amazing crew that comes and prepares the communion for us so that we can commune with the Lord every week. None of those roles are more important than the other. They're all needed to make this thing function. You understand what I mean? They're important to us and they're important to God. I was definitely guilty of looking at the gifts in a tier. Back as a baby Christian in 95, I wanted to know what my gift was. And I had a guy at the time who was here. His name was Chuck Taylor. He said, Cleve, your gift is encouragement. And I looked at him and I said, thanks, bro. And on the inside, I don't want no dumb encouragement gift. I want leadership. I want to be an evangelist. I want a sports ministry that goes across the whole country. I don't want no encouragement gift. What is that? And I believed it so much that from about 1995 to about 2011, I really felt I didn't have a gift. I would look at other people with gifts and I'm like, dang, did I skip that line? I mean, why isn't God giving me any gifts? And my incredible and patient wife got tired of hearing me whine like a wuss. She didn't say that, but I know. And she bought me this book called Discover Your God-Given Gifts. And it changed my life. My gift is encouragement. And I'm fired up about that gift. I've embraced that gift because that's the gift that God wanted me to have. What about you? What's your gift? Do you know what your gift is? If not, why don't you? You know, we have these gifts so that we can bring glory to God and his kingdom. If you don't know, what's your excuse? You know, people have been talking about this Reach conference that we went to in St. Louis last weekend. And there was an elder from the Chicago church who told a marriage class. And he said a couple things that stuck with me. He said, God can work without fears. Then he says, when we're committed, we make a way. When we're not, we make excuses. And excuses are lies wrapped up in reason. I was like, oh, this brother don't even know me. No more excuses, okay? Let's go through these. I love how this book breaks down these gifts in correlation with the human body. The prophesiers or the perceivers are the eye of the body. The servers are the hands of the body. The teachers are the mind of the body. The encouragers or exhorters are the mouth of the body. Givers are the arms of the body. Leaders or administrators are the shoulders of the body. Kindness, mercy, compassion people, they're the heart of the body. A minister named Bill Gothard suggests that individuals react to given situations in light of their gifts. If a waitress spills someone's meal all over the restaurant floor and a group of Christians are sitting nearby, each individual will react in accordance with his spiritual gift. The gift of kindness or compassion responds by concentrating on cleaning up the mess. The gift of giving offers to pay for another meal. The gift of exhortation or encouragement seeks to cheer up the waitress. The gift of leadership or administration delegates and organizes the whole matter to avoid confusion. The gift of teaching suggests some ways to avoid a recurrence of the problem. Your spiritual gift makes you sensitive to certain needs that others may not perceive. Do what you see needs to be done. So let's have some fun. Let's connect these gifts with apocalypse, all right? So perceivers are the most gifted of us with spiritual sight. They see things that the rest of us often miss completely. Perceivers spend a lot of time praying to God because they have the special responsibility of having a clear and sound eye in order to detect God's truth. Nightcrawler. You see Nightcrawler? Fired up with his Thriller jacket on. It's in the morning, he's having his coffee, having a quiet time with his Bible on his lap, spending time with the Lord. Well, in the church, we have a perceiver. There's a disciple that I know for a fact has this gift. Now, I'm not saying this to get brownie points, okay? Or because I am head over heels, ridiculously in love, I will shout it to the mountaintops. From the mountaintop, I don't care. I love this woman. But she's a perceiver. You know, in 29 days, we'll be celebrating our 18th wedding anniversary. 21 years together in the kingdom. So when you see her, I mean, she's been with me for 21. Give her a hug. Just give her a hug. But my wife is the ultimate perceiver. She loves God and she loves to pray. Now I'm the leader of my household. And I should be the one that leads in prayer with my wife. And I do most of the time. I think all husbands need to pray with their wives. Amen. But sometimes I fail. And it's usually late at night. I get up at 4 a.m. for work. And usually around 10, 11, midnight, when my butt should be asleep, I try to sneak into the bed, and Shannon says, let's pray. And on a few occasions, I've had an inner attitude. I want to sleep. But how can you be spiritual and your wife asks you to pray and you say no? If you're married, you don't say no. For all you who aspire one day to be married, lead your wife in prayer, and if she asks you, don't say no. But my wife, so I'll pray, and I'm, you know, groggy, and I'm to the point, and then Shannon will start. And she's a perceiver, so she loves to pray. And I confess that there have been times I've dozed off. So much, in fact, that I wake up, and the sun is out, and the birds are chirping, and she's still going for it, man. She's still going for it. And luckily, I can slide right back in. And when she finished, amen, honey, great prayer. Great prayer. No. My wife loves to pray. She's a prayer warrior. She prays so much for you guys. And she definitely has spiritual sight. I was going to share an example, but she didn't feel comfortable with it. And I'm learning to listen to my wife. Yes, yes. Oh, it took 21 years. But let's just say, she could kind of see through an image that was being portrayed that I couldn't see through and many others couldn't see through, and the image was exposed. And, you know, she's not like, ha-ha, I told you. She's very quiet, very mature, but she had already seen it. And that's why I can't get away with nothing. I'm a grown man. If I want to eat in my room, I should be able to eat in my room. And not sneak around and do it. She's 5'4". I'm 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. Scared some woman, but my wife is the ultimate perceiver. She uses her gift to serve you guys and to serve God's kingdom. Teachers are exceptionally gifted with intelligence. They're always asking questions. They want to know the basis for everything, and they will search until the facts convince them that something is true. And they love sharing that information with others. The X-Men, Beast. Beast has ridiculous strength and agility, and he is brilliant and well-educated. He is a world authority on biochemistry and genetics. He's the X-Men's doctor and the sciences and mathematics teacher at the Xavier Institute. When I think of someone with the teaching gift, our Beast is Dr. Charles Zeitler. Charles has a love and passion for God's word, and he's more than willing to share it with you. He takes it very seriously. Charles is one of those guys that after I preach and I see him coming, I'm like, uh-oh. Oh, boy. And there have been times when he's challenged me, and there have been times when he's encouraged me. I remember one time back in April of 2010, I was blessed to do a midweek sermon in the North Sector, and I entitled it, Jesus Christ, a True Superhero. I love superheroes, man. I just do. But after I finished, I ran out of the building so Charles couldn't get on. I didn't do that. But I didn't see him. But that following Sunday, he found me. And he and his wife came up to me. And, you know, the heart starts, what did I do wrong? What did I do? No, but he gave me a card. And from that time, I've kept it in my Bible. And it says, have a high-flying action-packed. Having a high-flying, action-packed, adventure-filled walk with God. And in Jeremiah, what they wrote was in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, but if I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Cleve, thanks for preaching the word with passion. We love you, Charles and Bonnie. I've kept that in my Bible since 2010. Because it meant so much coming from a man of God who is serious about making sure we teach God's words correctly. Amen? Givers. Givers give freely of money, possessions, time, energy, and love, and they love to give without others knowing about it. The X-Men. Professor X. Professor X is the founder of the X-Men. He's an exceptionally powerful telepath who can read and control minds of others. But most importantly, he opened his home to create a boarding school for people with abilities, faced all kinds of obstacles and have nowhere else to go. And he does it for free. Food, clothing. Even though I was thinking about this, in the cartoon, they never really changed their clothes. So he didn't really have to pay a whole lot for that, but I'm sure he wanted to keep them clean, so the laundry bill and the detergent was probably a high bill. But he gives of his resources, his time, as he teaches them to be cool with who they are, and he gives his patience. Our Professor X, Tony Adson. Tony and his wife Tamara help people financially. They've opened their homes to allow people to live with them. And they've given in so many ways, and they never advertise it. They never ask for attention or anything in return. I've shared before about back in 2001, a month after 9/11, my second son Christian was born. One of the greatest days of my life. And then the next day, I got an email that, hey, Cleve, man, they had a meeting, and they let go of 40 people. And your name was on that list. At the time, Shannon was a stay-at-home mom. We were living paycheck to paycheck. It was one of the roughest times of my life. I felt like less of a man, a failure. We had to get money from relatives. We had to get benevolence from the church. I even had to ask, I had to take my wife and my two kids and move back in with my mom. Satan was having failed months with me. That December, Tony came up to me and he said, hey, do you guys want to go to Florida? Now, Tony is someone that I love with my whole heart, and I respect and admire him so much. But when he asked me that, I'm thinking, I'm trying to have money to feed my kids and my wife. I can't afford to go to Florida. And Tony said, no, we got you. We have a place to stay. We'll feed you. As a matter of fact, we'll take you to Universal Studios. In my pride, I want to say, no, I'm good. But I need to get away. I need to get away. It was hard. And I have a picture. That's us. That's Tony and Tamara. That's little Kendall. And there's Devin. And there's Deirdre. And that's Super Kevin with hitting his pose. And in the back, that's me holding almost two-year-old Shay. And that's Shannon holding two-month-old Christian. Tony and Tamara don't know what they did and how it changed my life. They're givers. They love to give. Now, I'm not telling you, don't go asking them for money. I'm not saying, don't go ask them, can they move? And I'm not, advertising the House of Addison. I'm just saying, they use their gift to encourage God's people. And for the sake of these time, I'll run through the rest of these. But first, I have to thank Fat Vaughn, man. Fat, he's a beast with that picture, with the images. Y'all should have seen what I tried. I mean, poor Charles, I had his head, and part of the hair was in, and then you could see the blue, and his neck was up. That's not my gift. So, Fat, thank you so much for those images. Oh, my goodness. But servers love to be helpful anytime, any place, especially if it includes hands-on involvement. I think of C.J. Phillip when I think of a servant. Servant, this woman has made a living on Broadway. She's a musical genius. She's a trifecta, singing, acting, dancing. She's directed, and yet she spends her days in Baltimore City, teaching the arts to inner city families, giving them an outlet and a safe environment to do some cool things that I know for a fact I didn't get to do when I was a kid growing up there. Encouragers or exhorters love to encourage others to live up to their full potential. They are well-liked because of their positive attitude. Bianca Harsley. She's not in here with us today. She's substituting over in children's ministry, serving. She has such a positive point, has such a positive point of view, and she lifts others up. It's rare to see her down and out, and even when she's struggling, she wants to make sure you're okay. She will share scripture with you, and after talking to her, sometimes you feel like everything is going to be okay. Leaders or administrators are highly motivated to organize that for which he or she is responsible. They respect and handle authority well, and they enjoy working with and being around people. I think of Philip Chung, Henry Martin, Don Means. These guys are so organized, and they are leaders of men and women at their jobs. And we're blessed because all three of them serve on our board of directors. Kindness, mercy, or compassion people. They have a tremendous capacity to show love. Reflecting the nature of their Heavenly Father, compassion people seem to be an unending source of agape love. The more opportunities they have to give love, the more joyful and fulfilled they are. My sister Erica Dukes. Erica just loves people, man. She does. And the more trouble you are in, the more she's there to try to help you out and give you her heart. Even if you call in the middle of the night, she'll answer. Now, don't go calling her in the middle of the night. She's married to my boy Dink. Okay, I'll just end it at that. Now, in talking about these brothers, this is just my opinion of them. Their gifts can be something totally different. It could be that these are things that they do just to obey God. It's imperative that they figure out what they are. Just because God makes us strong in a particular area or areas, it does not give us the excuse from doing everything on this list. Last year, Shannon and I led children's ministry. Taught in the middle school ministry. I was president of the board of directors, part of a leadership group, a family group leader. And oh yeah, most importantly, a husband and a father of two teenage sons. Some people will say, wow, bro, you're a server. I'm absolutely not. I'm a lazy bum. If it was okay and I get to heaven, I'd sit in my room and play Madden and drink Kool-Aid all day. But I do it for two reasons. One, because there was a need, and you guys are my family, and I love you. And the second is Jesus says, if we want to be great, we have to be a servant. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a great disciple of Jesus. You know, when you go to a cemetery and you see the gravestones, and a lot of people focus on the year born and the year they passed away. That's not really what's important. What's important is that dash in the middle. That dash. What did you do with those years that you were blessed with on this earth? What legacy do you leave? What's your impact? I want to be someone who leaves a great legacy for Jesus and not just barely make it. I want to make it, but you understand what I'm saying. It's imperative that we all discover what our gifts are from God and use them. Why, you ask? Glad you guys are still with me. Because point number two, we all got them, but so does Satan. You know, for the X-Men, Apocalypse was their most dangerous opponent. He was no joke, and it took them using all of their powers, all of their gifts, all of their abilities, collectively, to get the job done and defeat him. Well, we face an opponent that makes Apocalypse look like SpongeBob SquarePants. Let me introduce him to you before I talk about his gifts. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, put on all of God's armor that you will be able to stand up against all of the schemes of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Satan, our true enemy, he's real. He hates our guts and he wants to destroy us. He's not the funny little dude in a red suit with the long tail. He's a schemer. You look at all this craziness that's going on with race in our country. Is it of God? Or is it of the devil? In Matthew 28, Jesus said he wants people of all nations, all nationalities, to be a part of his family. Look around. Look around. This is just a small snapshot. Last week we were at Reach and there was almost 18,000 people from all over this country, different parts of the world, who are on Team Jesus. We found out that out of a possible 196 nations, we're in 150. And we have plans to get into those other 46 nations. That's what God wants. People of different races coming together. This racial divide, this craziness, this nonsense that's happening, that's Team Satan. In his scheming, he has us looking at someone's outside appearance, their color, where they're from, and looking at somebody and saying, I hate you because of the way you look. And he takes us away and distracts us from what's going on. We're in a spiritual war. There's a spiritual war going on for our souls. And we look at the color of somebody's skin. This isn't football. This is real life. In football, we can choose our team. I play out of this team. I like this team. I like this team. It don't really make a deal. It's not really going to determine whether or not you make it to heaven. But in a spiritual war, there's only two teams. That's two. Team Jesus, Team Satan. That's it. There's no middle team. There's no I'm a sit on the fence team. There's no independent team. You're on one of two teams. If you're not all in with Jesus and following the lordship of Jesus the way Jesus says you do it, you are on Team Satan. I hate to tell you, but I'm going to. This stuff is nothing to play around with. It's not about us looking at each other. And I'm encouraged by the basketball players and the sports athletes and the people who are saying, we're going to go in and make a difference. I appreciate that heart. And we need to try to make a difference. But the only difference that can be made is the difference of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way it's going to work. Let's talk about some of his gifts. He's an impersonator. He masquerades as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 13, it says, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. How do we combat this with our gifts? By the truth in the Bible. By teachers serving their function, by teaching accurately. And by us as disciples diligently studying the scriptures. And if we do this, we'll be able to sniff out Satan's tricks of false doctrine. Like praying Jesus into your heart. Infant baptism. Once saved, always saved. We may not all have the teaching gift, but we better all be learners. Amen? Our salvation depends on it. He's a leader. He rules the masses. In Revelation 12 and verse 7, it says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. We have to be careful who we follow, inside and outside the church. How do we fight this with our gifts? Those who administer, those who lead, they lead according to what is sound. Just because someone has a church, wears a robe, has a television or radio program, it does not mean that they are a man of God. If they preach a doctrine other than that of Jesus Christ, they may be a servant of Satan. We got to stop looking with our physical eyes and focus spiritually. He's an opportunist. He seeks the right time to tempt us. For sake of time, I'll just talk about it. Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. This is when when Jesus has been out fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He's tired, he's hungry, he's weak, and who shows up? Satan himself. And he tried to pounce because of where Jesus was. What's your opportune time for Jesus to pounce? Is it when you're lonely and you want that companionship? And you settle for that person that you know doesn't love God? Is it when you want that new job, making all that money, but it'll keep you away from the body? Who gave you that job? Is that of Jesus? To be away from him? How many times are we tired and we don't want to be bothered? We don't want to talk to anyone, just be to ourselves. How can we fight against this? Let me ask you, how's your Sunday service attendance? How's your midweek attendance? How's your family or your family group of Bible talk attendance? Or, your discipling time attendance. Hey, I know emergencies come up. That happens. But when God looks at your attendance record, will he say most of your absences are emergency related or they're habitual absences? And when you do attend, do you spur others on, love them, encourage them? Or do you jet out of service with the speed and ferocity of roaches when the lights come on? Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward loving good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. This is where encouragers and compassionate people need to function. Encouraging people not to give up. Reminding them that they are needed. How much God loves them. Compassion people. Loving people so that they know that they are missed and can't just walk out the door with no one caring. Loving people when they're down. You know Droopy, my cousin, Chris Wills. Best DJ in the land. Thursday night, he lost his mom. My Aunt Edna. To a battle with cancer. It was hard. It was so hard to see her in the hospital bed. And I went with the intention I got to be strong for my cousin and my uncle. And I broke down. Chris and I and his brother, we hugged. It was hard. We cried together. She and my uncle were coming up on 53 years of marriage together next month. I'm so grateful for Jamal and Kelly Stokes. They were at the hospital. Shannon said, make sure you take tissue. Whew. I'm such a wuss in my old age. Kelly sent out the email, and they came to my uncle's house afterwards, along with Ray, Fott, Scott, now. Now, I don't know if compassion or kindness is their spiritual gift, but they showed compassion and kindness to my family, and I'm so grateful to them. My uncle and my cousin Avery got a chance to see Jesus' love through the disciples during a very tough time, and I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Satan is a liar. Genesis 3:4, he says, you won't die, Eve. Don't listen to him. You won't die, surely. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. We got to be careful, because sometimes he doesn't really have to work too hard when he lies to us, because he's telling us what we already want to hear. I don't think I'm the only one in that situation. Please figure out your gift so that we can all be in a fight together. There was a scene in a movie where fighting seemed hopeless for the X-Men. But Mystique, she encouraged everyone to get in the fight. Get in the fight. If you need help finding resources to figure out your gifts, come talk to me. If you're 100% sure of what your gift is, please start using it to serve Jesus' body, his church. We need one another, and we all need to be functioning. No one should be on the sidelines. No one should be on the sidelines waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. Look around. The church, people, there's so many needs. Maybe we can even start a church listing of our spiritual gifts so we know who to call for specific situations. If you're visiting with us today and you're not sure about some of the things I shared, talk to the person who invited you. Let them open the word of God with you. It's not a game out here. The war and Satan are real. He is our shared enemy, and he hates us. Don't be proud. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. For those who are regular members, the challenge is the same. Keep the word of God as your standard. Be strong. Be courageous. Let go of your pride. And make a decision to be active in his church. I'm glad Scott talked about children's ministry. These classes that we have are phenomenal on church history and bad women of the Bible. And the marriage class. And look, we've been married almost 18 years. I don't know it all. I know about that much of all. So I need these classes. I need this stuff to help me because I don't want her to ever leave me because I'm an idiot. So I need these classes. But this past Wednesday, we usually need on midweek 12 teachers to run an effective children's ministry. Remember, it's a ministry. It's not a babysitting service. We had three teachers. Three. So do the math. We need about 9 more teachers. Amen. Repent. But whether you're a true Christian or not, Satan wants you to fail and to be with him. But God gave us of his entire self to take our place. Our sentence for our sin, so that we can understand the gift of true love and sacrifice. And I'll close here with my last point. Point number 3, Jesus has got them all. You know, Jesus has all the gifts and then some. He could feed thousands of people with a couple loaves of bread and a few fish. I bet you a lot of people would. I got 2 teenage sons that eat like 3 grown men. That would be awesome in my family. He could fly. Y'all know that's what I want to do. I just want to be able to fly. He could fly as he ascended to heaven. He could raise the dead, and he could even walk on water. He even gave that gift to Peter for a few seconds. He's the perfect superhero. Everyone in this room has a gift, handpicked and bestowed upon you by Jesus himself. But the greatest gift he ever gave any of us was dying for our sins, so that we could have a shot to be with him for eternity. Thank you, church, so much for allowing me to share. I love you guys so much, and to God be the glory.